Said the night wind to the little lad, do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lad, do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night, with a tail as big as a kite, with a tail as big as a kite. Now you gotta know this song. I should get somebody else up here. Come on, my playing microphones. Said the night lamb to the little boy, do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the trees, with a voice as big as the sea, with a voice as big as the sea. Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you know what I know? In your palace war, mighty king, do you know what I know? A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Said the king to the people everywhere, listen to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere, listen to what I say. A child, sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light. What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds God and angels see. Haste, haste to bring him not the babe, the Son of Mary. Nails shall pierce him through, the cross he bore for me, for you. Hail, hail the Word made flesh, the Babe, the Son of Mary.
Isn't that pretty? See, it was a Christmas song, but it's pretty anyway, isn't it? We're starting here.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. In age he stands, and time is in his hand, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The God had three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, see how great is our God. Above all names, worthy of all praise, my heart will sing, how great is our God. Name above all names,
sing me, worthy
of all praise, my heart will sing, how great.
Go back a slide.
Name above all names,
sing with me,
worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God.
Get the acapella again.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
It's a pretty song.
That's what we need.
Thousand more times to set me free. more than the giving. Oh, help me want you, Jesus, more than anything. When I'm desperate and my heart's overcome, all that I need you've already done. When I'm desperate, the healer, more than the healing. Help me want the Savior, more than the saving. Help me want the giver, more than the giving. Oh, help me want you, Jesus, more than anything. Help me want you, Jesus, more than anything.
It'll sound better on Sunday. They're a pretty song, though. I really, really love the message.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the rush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. In the midst of His children, the Lord said He would be. It doesn't take very many. It can be just two or three. And I feel that same sweet Spirit that I felt oft times before. Oh, surely I can say I have been with the Lord. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the rush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. There's a holy hush around us as God's glory fills this place. I touch the hem of His garment. I can almost see His face. And my heart is overflowing with the fullness of His joy. I know without a doubt that I have been with the Lord. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Oh, you want to do all 12? Well, then maybe we will.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love sent to me a partridge in a pear tree. On the second day of Christmas, my true love sent to me two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree. On the third day of Christmas, my true love sent to me three friend chance, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love said to me, four calling birds, three friend chance, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me five golden rings.
There they were.
Four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Should I keep going?
On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me six geese a-laying, five golden rings. Four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love sent to me seven swans a-swinging, six geese a-laying, five golden rings. Four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love said to me, eight maids a-milking, seven swans a-swimming, six geese a-laying, five gold rings. Four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the ninth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me nine ladies dancing, eight maids a-milking, seven swans a-swimming, six geese a-laying, five gold rings. Four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Okay, here's my breath. Here we go.
On the tenth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me ten lords a-leaping, nine ladies dancing, eight maids a-milking, seven swans a-swimming, six geese a-laying, five gold rings. Four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the 11th day of Christmas, my true love said to me 11 pipers piping, 10 lords a-leaping, 9 ladies dancing, 8 maids a-milking, 7 swans a-swimming, 6 geese a-laying, 5 gold rings. 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Oh, we made it! Almost.
On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love said to me 12 drummers drumming, 11 pipers piping, 10 lords a-leaping, 9 ladies dancing, 8 maids a-milking, 7 swans a-swimming, 6 geese a-laying, 5 gold rings. 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Well, a lot of times what happens on Thursdays is I don't necessarily have anything prepared per se. So I say, oh God, say, all right, Lord, show me what, and I just let the Bible open. However, tonight he actually did lay something on my heart. So must be knowing everybody was going to be here, right? Actually, he did that last week too. Instead of me, he actually laid something on my heart before that, and it really worked out well. Because last week we had a what we call it a celebration of life. It was a funeral service essentially, but yet there weren't any ashes or the body wasn't here. Okay, it's a memorial service, if you will. But we like to call it a celebration of life because it's really about remembering what that, not focusing on what our losses are. Dick Massey, it was Dick Massey's daughter. And Dick, I don't remember the last time Dick had been here on a Thursday night, but it was that same day, that same Thursday, a week ago, that we were here at, it was 11 a.m. service. And Massey, M-A-S-S-E-Y. Dick Massey, yeah. His daughter was Lori Ann Massey. I think she may have, I can't remember if she lived in, did she live in Hamilton? Or was she out, did she live in Hamilton? Okay. She did. Oh, thank you. I'm actually, if you want to open up to Hebrews 4. No, not at all. Not at all. We're way laid back. Hebrews 4. Did you write that down the other day? All right, this is why God's laying on my heart, man, so we can talk about it. That's what God does. So anyway, so Dick's sitting over here, and God had laid on my heart to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which talks about our eternal home, you know, our eternal rest in paradise, which, of course, with him just losing his daughter, that was just spot on for what he needed. So every now and then, God will do that for me, and he did it tonight, and here he is confirming right there. Yeah, I mean, I was just looking at Hebrews 4. and actually, where God's leading me to is actually the latter part of Hebrews 4, kind of leading into 5. So probably where I'm picking up here is, and by the way, if you're curious, the version I have in my hand is the New International Version, but use a version that you like if you've got one. So I'm on Hebrews 4. We'll pick it up right around verse 7 or so. That's probably where we'll do this. That's where God's kind of laying this on my heart. Actually, the tail end of it, where God is saying, he says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. All right. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. One of the things that the enemy, of course, wants to try and do, the prince of darkness wants to try and bring against us, is always get us to reject God, right? And when it speaks of hardening your heart, that's exactly what God's talking about here. He said, hey, don't let the darkness keep you from really hearing, receiving what I have for you. So going on for verse 8, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did. So here we're talking about the Sabbath, and yeah, there was some stuff talking about the Sabbath prior to it, but God wouldn't lead me to start there on that. Because actually there's other stuff we want to focus more on. But while we're on the Sabbath, for those of you who aren't aware, there's a number of, the Jews, of course, Jewish people still observe the Sabbath, which is Saturday. Seventh-day Adventists also do the Saturday. There might be another one, too, I'm forgetting. There's something to do that. And they base it, essentially they're basing it off of this, okay? However, if you also go back through later and look, especially through Paul actually mentions worship on Sunday, calling it the first day of the week. In a couple of different places. So, you know, for me, it's like, hey, we're here on Thursday night. Thursday night, it's Wednesday night. Hey, as long as you're worshiping God, we should worship God every day. Every day should be a Sabbath, all right? Whatever honors the Lord, exactly. Just resting, right? Resting in God, right? Oh, but didn't he give you a religious answer?
No, it wasn't? Really.
Okay, good. But at the end of the day, it's God saying, hey, you got to have at least one day a week, you know, to rest and recharge and get it back. Exactly. He made it for us. Well said. Really well said. You know, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirits, joints and marrow, judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. How do you like that? So it's telling us the word of God, it's truth, right? We're told many different times the word of God is truth. And doesn't truth really hurt sometimes? I mean, it can really hurt. I mean, it's truth, but it depends on your state of mind, especially, because the enemy wants us to twist that. Nice. Right. And sometimes we got to do that. And that's all. The neat thing with you saying that tells me that you're listening. I mean, you've got a conversation. You've got a relationship with God. That's awesome. That's what we're all called to do. You know, we're called to do that because, yeah, if someone's speaking truth to you, you don't reject it just because you don't like it. Truth is truth. And it's funny, too, because if you get together with people that, I'll pick an atheist, for example, or people that, and I love that because even atheists actually believe in something. Well, and as you know, a lot of atheists actually were raised in a church. And they really, they were. They were raised in a church. They didn't see what they thought. They didn't. The two didn't meld together. And a lot of times, just sadly, that just comes from poor teachings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of the vineyard type churches of all that has come up has opened things up. And of course, if you actually go back to the Reformation, to the Protestant Reformation with Martin Luther, which of course started the Lutheran Church, and then the Protestant churches all blossomed off of that. Of this is considered of one of those. But you remember, he didn't want to start a new church. He nailed up 95 theses, 95 points, and said, here's what we need to fix, guys. Nice. Got to do it again. So anyway, yeah, the Word of God, man, it just gets in there and divides it up. So verse 13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. I love that one. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give accounts. All right. So therefore, there's a hard truth, right? Yeah. Oh, were you listening? You did listen? You listen to the audio Bible, or you're just talking? You're just talking to God. Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah. But we will be called into account. And actually, that 2 Corinthians 5 we did last week with Dick Massey was sitting here. It covers all that too. You know, it says all that. We will be held accountable with it. But the awesome thing is, we've also got now, as we're moving into this now, verse 14. It's this section is entitled Jesus the Great High Priest, because now here's the good news. Here's the better news, right? Yeah, Romans 3:23, right? All have sinned and fall short of glory to God. But now here's the really cool part where Jesus goes and intercedes for us. So verse 14, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. That was verse 15. Now, yet was without sin. Now, check this out. So Jesus, of course, was born of Mary, the Virgin Mary. And Jesus was born of a human and born of the Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit. So now, what does Jesus tell us to do, right? And John the Baptist was telling us too, right? We must repent and be born again. Of course, Jesus didn't need to be born again, because he was at birth born like that. So when people struggle with how could Jesus have been a human like me, you know, and not sinned, well, he was born again from the start. So he knew God's voice. He knew the will of the Father. He knew what was right and what was wrong. He took a stand for things. And, you know, a lot of people will have the wrong impression of the type of man Jesus really was. You know, people would think that, you know, he was just a very gentle guy cruising along, you know, lovey, lovey, lovey. He was a warrior. He was a warrior. Yeah. He challenged the establishment, you know. I mean, and you heard him. I mean, he said, you hypocrites, you brood of vipers. I mean, he went down the list, right? I mean, he went after it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. No, you're right. No, you're absolutely right. And actually, I'm glad you said that, because I like to use Bible.com. It's called YouVersion. It's an app you can run and put on your phone. And a lot of times, so when I drive back from work every day or in the afternoon, I usually listen to the Bible. But I purposely like to listen to different versions for exactly what you're saying there, because sometimes a different version will say something you've heard, you know, 20 times, right? And all of a sudden, right, exactly. So, you know, now the purist will say, oh, no, the only Bible you should listen to is the King James Version because of that. But exactly, you can't, a lot of people can't understand that. And these and thous and, yeah. So it's really good, though, to expose yourself to different versions like that, to turn to different translations. Don't let the purist try to discourage you from it. Because the Word of God, I mean, when we read the Word, the Holy Spirit is going to breathe life into these words you read. And he's going to reveal, like you said, just that one word. Oh, it kind of adds a whole new meaning with it. Glory to God. Where was I here? Okay, now check this out. So now we're at verse 16. So Hebrews 4:16, and this is actually the specific verse that God laid on my heart to start with, and then he pulled me backwards. All right, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That's a powerful verse right there. Yeah, let us approach. Yeah, you're correct. Is that what your version says? Go and read your version, verse 16.
It says, therefore, let us, which in a bracket with privilege, approach the throne of grace, that is the throne of God's gracious favor, with confidence but without fear, so that we may receive mercy for our failures, and find this amazing grace to help in time of need. An appropriate blessing coming just at the right moment.
See, I think that's so good how it's written there, because like most people, when they've done something that they don't want to go to God, because they don't feel privileged because of that guilt factor, which of course the devil just like sit there and say, well, you did this and you're not going to correct it. But we are privileged as like, we have that privilege.
You're absolutely right. That's one of the favorite tricks of the devil, is exactly what you just said. You know, yeah, the enemy will condemn us. He's looking for any excuse to condemn us. And a lot of times when we let the enemy condemn us, it's because we've experienced that earlier, meaning a parent or someone we respected had disciplined us or something. That the enemy works off of everything. The enemy has been there through your entire, seeing what's going on in your life, but he can't see what's coming in the future, and he can't actually read your thoughts. But he can throw darts at you and see how you react. Well, that worked. All right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, because it is. It's a battle of the mind. And that's Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and darkness. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Neat. So then it moves into chapter 5. And it says, every high priest is selected from among men as an appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. So because, in this case, they're saying that who's been anointed, I mean, they've lived it, all right? They can relate. This is Jesus can relate, you know, because he's had all these things dealing that he's been dealt with. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins. We're talking about the high priest, not Jesus. But the high priest has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as sins of the people. No one takes this honor upon himself. He must be called by God, just as Aaron was. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son. Today I've become your father." And he says in another place, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And actually, Melchizedek is actually, I'll probably end up stopping on that actually. But Melchizedek, yeah. To tie everything back for some of you, Melchizedek in the Old Testament, all right, Melchizedek was, it's interesting, it says he was without beginning, all right, meaning, because normally, remember that's a real important thing in the Jewish culture. Who was the father of the father, you know, to establish who a person was. But they specifically said he was without beginning, all right? Meaning nobody knew. But they knew he was a high priest of God, all right? And Moses actually brought offering to him. As a matter of fact, and Moses, not God, Moses said, I'm going to give you 10%. See, and that's where a lot of people get the tithing stuff from, okay? All right, but that is an Old Testament thing, and God didn't say, hey, Moses, you need to give 10%. Moses on his own chose to give 10% on that. But that becomes a basis for a lot of people like to go and use with tithing. Now, don't get me wrong, tithing is an important thing to do, but it doesn't necessarily need to be, but you don't want it to be mechanical, okay? And I'll give you a good example. A person can go ahead and give to the church weekly, which is a great thing to do. But if you see somebody else with a need, you know, that you can help them with. You know, you don't say, well, you know, I'm going to call the church, you know, because they gave money to them. You got to give beyond that. And generally speaking, when you're really just walking out a true giving Christian principle, you're doing a lot more than 10% anyway. And it doesn't have to be cash, all right? It doesn't have to be cash, right? Exactly. Exactly. Because, I mean, if you really think about it, your time is actually way more valuable than a piece of paper that we call cash. It really is. It really, really is. And that's one of the things I love about our praise band up here. They're all volunteers. And that includes me. You know, we're all volunteer with that. And we put a lot of time into all this because this is a giving thing, and we really feel it's an important part of the ministry. And just for fun, if you do the math, our average attendance here runs like about 65 or 70. And I've got about 7 or 8 in the praise band, so there's your 10%. Oh, gee. Was there anything else in here that one would hit on? No, I think I'm kind of stopping there. But that's... Well, the Spirit's laying on my heart to kind of stop scripture-wise with that and just move into prayer. How we can pray for everybody tonight. So, Lord, we thank you as we gather here. We gather here. For your word tells us where two or more are gathered. Boy, are you here, Lord. We thank you for your presence and for your peace, which surpasses all understanding. And we're especially thankful here, Lord, for all our guests here tonight. It's so wonderful to share what we all seek and what all we love in common, and that's you, Lord. That's you and your Son, Christ Jesus. So, Lord, I'm just going to go in order that we had written these things down here for our brother Tom and that situation with that 25-year-old young lady and the family. Lord, you are the King above all kings and the Lord above all lords. And so many places in Scripture, it's declared that nothing is impossible for you, Lord. Yet there's this one variable, though, Lord. It's a great gift you gave us, but it can be our greatest curse, and that's that free will. For God honors free will above all. Yet, Lord, you can place these situations in front of people to open their heart, to open their eyes. And we thank you, Lord, that gets done, that the enemy is bound, that has been messing and throwing the blinders up, throwing that dark, heavy blanket over people's bodies and eyes and just trying to smother the light of Christ. So, Lord, we thank you as you touch this family, especially this mother. You know, you just touch her with a supernatural peace, Lord. It's the enemy's got her a little confused. She probably thinks she's doing your will or some variation of it. But Lord, show her truth. We talked about that tonight. The Word of God is like a double-edged sword, right? It's that piercing truth. So Lord, we thank you as your Word pierces this family and this situation. But we speak supernatural, just healing and life into this daughter. Let's get her healthy. Get her healthy, Lord. Show the power and the glory. These things that Tom's talking about, you know, seizures happen on one side, then the other, and bouncing around, that's, even science says, nuh-uh, that's whacked. Right. It's got to stop. Right. So we speak the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. So we thank you, Lord. And we're speaking a lot of peace, because we speak peace in for you, Judy. I'm glad you're here today, Judy. It's good. It's a beautiful thing. And we're lifting up Bev and her family and you. I mean, all her loved ones. But we thank you, Lord, for the blessed memories of Bev as we focus on those and we focus on seeing her again with you in eternal paradise in that glory. So we just speak the peace of God, this peace of God to all her loved ones. All of them. We all know we're going there someday. But it's not easy here on this world to say goodbye. But let us focus on these, on the goodness, the good memories, and the joys. Absolutely. And Judy, for your family, for your son especially, you know, this rotator cuff stuff, we thank you, Lord, that is supernaturally taken and made whole. And that shoulder, that rotator cuff just begets healed. And, you know, and if he's going through the surgery, okay, Lord, I thank you for supernaturally fast recovery. You know, however it works out, because God is in it. God is in it, and he'll go as far as our faith will let him go. So we thank you, Lord, for just blessings upon blessings. And speaking of rotator cuffs, thank you for Sally Reckle, that she's already had that operation, but we thank you, Lord, for supernaturally fast recovery for her.
Yes, Lord.
Brand new.
Thank you.
Brand new, for nothing is impossible for you, Lord.
Nothing.
Absolutely not. Thank you, Daddy, for Melody. And the blessings that she brings to my life and brings here. Just the great joy that she shares. Great joy when she just opens her mouth singing, huh? Mm. What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful sound that God speaks through you, Melody. It's a beautiful thing. So I thank you, Lord, for your travel mercies for her. Thank you that she has a new engine. Engine block. It's engine block. But thank you for that. That great blessing. Thank you for the opportunities placed in front of her, Lord, to become a leader. A leader in worship. She's always been a leader, but now she's got a little more of a role, more of a planning role. So just guide her, show her where this needs to go as we rejoice in that. And Daddy, we thank you big, big, big for the opportunities that I had yesterday and just bringing a great couple together and making new friends here tonight. So we just speak great joys and blessings upon this marriage, upon all you guys with regard to what Mike lifted up. I think he said it best, man. Just, Lord, let the financial blessings flow. Let it flow. Any barriers to these things, Lord, we just crush them. Yes. We command they just get out of the way.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. That's right. And I especially thank you, Lord, for the insight and the wisdom that you shared with Rebecca here.
Yes.
She's you have gifted her with being able to read your word and get it.
Yes, Lord.
And being able to help others understand that. And that's huge. That's absolutely huge. Yeah. So we rejoice. We stand rejoicing with you, Rebecca, on that. And we know that God, like we talked about earlier, Lamentations 3:22-23, his mercies are fresh and new every morning. And it's and obviously because these things trouble you, and they should. But you're human, and you're forgiven too, and that's awesome. So no condemnation, Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No tongue shall condemn. For thus is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, says God. When we accept Christ, we are righteous. We are made righteous. And God says that right there, and even the Old Testament, Isaiah, and your righteousness is of me, says God. You are righteous in the eyes of God. And therefore, what you mentioned earlier, James 5, yeah. James 5, 16, the effectant, fervent prayers of the righteous bring much. There it is again, more righteousness, right? Yeah. And that righteousness is as simple as believing and accepting Christ. It's that simple. So I thank you, Lord, for that gift.
Thank you, Lord.
That gift of great power and glory. And Lord, I speak a special, special thank you for my brother Romero here.
Thank you,
I've seen you, I've seen this man go from rags to riches here, man. I mean, and I want those riches to be more financial for you, town new brother, because Hebrews 11:6 declares to us that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Yeah, amen. Amen. And the rewards come in different ways, but we are speaking just the things to help bring you to a level of comfort. Or you don't have to be in that fight or flight, that survival mode at times. That stuff messes with us. So good. That's right. It's all right. Getting all that stuff out. But Lord, I thank you for your blessings here. You guys are a huge blessing to me, and I thank you for this time of fellowship. Can you join with me singing the Lord's Prayer?
Yes.
Say, Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, anyone works. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. 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 That's awesome. Anybody need hands laid for any healing stuff, physical, emotional, anything else? Man, we prayed for him yesterday. My goodness, how are you feeling, brother? You look good.
I know, like, way down, my blood sugar was good, but the weird thing is because mine has been high, because I was on my medication, my blood sugar got, like, 144 yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's been, like, pretty much in the 200s since I've been here. So that was kind of weird. And for the first time, my hands didn't hurt. But I got so hungry that my stomach got a little queasy. But my hands have been messed up since October. So
yeah.
The neuropathy kind of went from my feet to my hands when I got a job at Cracker Barrel. I think it was because I'm lifting. I was a pep coach. I was lifting and grabbing salads and things like that. and I was losing my car.
How you doing right now? How you feeling right now? How you feeling right now? Any hands? What?
I mean, you can if you want.
Come on, guys. Let's pray. Okay. Let's pray. Come on in here, guys.
That's good. Agreement, Father.
That's right. So, Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Daddy, I thank you for peace. As we speak the peace of God into Rebecca, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet.
Yes, Lord.
As we come against neuropathy and anything, all spirits contrary to the word and the will of God.
Yes, Lord.
Now commanding that they bow and go, never to return. So we speak great peace, especially out through the hands and the feet, the extremities, Lord. We speak peace of God right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Hold on a second. Let her feel that in her hands and her feet right now, Lord. Give her more, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
What are you feeling in your toes right now? Walk around for me. Walk around for me.
Thank you, Lord.
Walk around and move your hands and all that for me. Well, it's not allowed to go anywhere.
Right. It's got to go.
It's not allowed. It's got to go out. Out. Okay. What's going on with the hands now? How do the hands feel? Is it where? Knuckles or?
It's basically from here over on both hands.
Okay.
It's hard for me to open anything. It's hard for me. And I'm not used to it.
Open like a bottle of water open was pretty would be hard to do.
It hurts to go through. It goes.
Go get a new bottle of water.
It hurts to go through my purse. I basically have to wear gloves a lot now.
Oh, yeah?
But they just started acting up when I was living in my car in October when it got really, really cold in October. Uh-huh. So I think it was like partly that. But the arthritis and the neuropathy is caused from the diabetes and not having care source anymore. And my ex has been trying to kill me, which is why I've been living in my car. So it's been fun.
Oh, boy.